passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
A lot of interviews. We chatted with Brian Kelly earlier. You heard from Graham Mertz in the final hour. We'll talk a little more analysis in this hour and your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's continue and talk to Dan in Savannah. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Just listening to your new celebrity, what's his name, out of Baton Rouge, the old man? Respectfully.
Are you speaking of the coach we had?
No, the barbershop man. Daryl. Isn't he a Daryl also?
Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all. He's enjoyable. Now, you don't have to worry about them old boys down there with a splitter. They probably weren't hanging off every telephone pole there, but enjoy your visit with them. He needs to teach – he could teach Brian Kelly some Cajun language a little bit there. Brian needs to go in there and get his hair cut and brush up on his Cajun.
Can you see Brian down at the at TR's barbershop? You know, Brian's from Massachusetts, right north of Boston, and –
He'd be welcome now. Y'all enjoy gnawing on that gator tail or whatever. But I wanted to talk about Coach Saban. He is so calm now, and I know that he wasn't that way when this NIL started, and he could see the writing on the wall, and that's exactly what the problem is now. He can't spank nobody. He can't get on nobody because they'll just get there. They'll leave. With the transfer portal, they'll just go cross town or wherever, you know, and it's just and that just takes away a lot of the discipline opportunities and everything for all the coaches. So I'm sure Kirby's going to cross that bridge pretty soon, and all of them will. It's really sad because you can't tell your boss what to do if you're making more money than your boss. I don't think. Now you are Paul Feinbaum, so it could happen with you.
Let me assure you, doesn't matter what my name is. These days, I'll be outside looking for work.
Hey, you be down there cutting hair at the barbershop.
Yeah.
And leave them boys alone. If they watching Price is Right in the morning, we old men, but we still men, and them models look pretty nice,
right.
You know, on Price is Right.
I'll tell them, Dan, when I head down to BR, man, that's going to be some afternoon at the barbershop there. Let's talk to Jason in Augusta. Good afternoon. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, Dan had a good call there, I thought. A couple things I wanted to bring up. As far as Kiffin goes, he's full of more crap than a doo-doo gun. All he does is talk and can't win a ball game. And I got news for AJ and them. We're gonna go into Auburn and whip some butt this weekend. Go Dogs.
Thank you very much. That's a fascinating game because the game has more, almost as much of more tradition than any other game in the SEC. But after watching Auburn Saturday, it's hard to come up with an explanation of why it will be compelling. Let's check in with Willis in Los Angeles. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I think that Lane Kiffin is going to join his roster in the transfer portal himself. The Ole Miss job is merely a way station. Some of the people that had that job have disappeared, like Matt Luke and others, and they're not even in football anymore. And I have one serious request from you.
Okay.
I'd like you to have on interview some of the agents with the top-tier coaches. You had on Commissioner Sankey and the athletic director, like Bjork, very good interviews. And I'd just like to see the other side of the equation, who these guys are, how they present themselves, and
well,
how they react
really
to your question.
It's a really interesting question, and it's not impossible to do, but in the SEC, There is one agent that controls about 75% of the league, maybe more. And
wow,
there's a good book in this conversation because it is for all the people that ask questions like, well, how come that AD did what he did or she? It's usually because of an agent who controls the entire landscape.
Well, I would like to get a postmortem on the Brian Hartson deal, how it ended, what he got on the back end, for example.
Yeah, you know, Brian is he's back in Boise. I've actually heard from him a little bit, and I think he will come back. I've always felt he's a very good football coach who just got put in the worst possible situation. And that was day one, and it got worse because of the interference. But thank you for the call. You've given us a really interesting story, though, to talk about one day. Joseph is in Tupelo. You're on the air. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just still reeling a little bit over the embarrassment that Lane Kiffin did before the game by poking a sleeping giant, which we all know is not what you're supposed to do.
No.
And it's just like, I really thought we had a chance to win this game. And I was excited about it. And we came through with nothing. I mean, we had the lead, but we missed field goal. We didn't, our defense was playing pretty daggum good, but our offense just sputtered out.
Yeah,
so,
Joseph, the first half was, both teams threw away opportunities, but Ole Miss outplayed Alabama. And in just a handful of plays, it all evaporated, and then there were simply no answers. I don't know. People talk about halftime adjustments. It looked like Alabama shored everything up, and Kiffin was too busy tweeting out pictures of juice because the second half was about as big of a disaster I have seen from Lane Kiffin. And he's had some clunkers, but this one was unbelievable. And I think serious damage was done to Kiffin's reputation in the aftermath.
I believe so. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't get things turned right, it's not going to be good Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to add to the pressure of the moment, but it is as much of a must-win as you can ever have on the final day of September.
Yes, we have to have it. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And by the way, I think the game is winnable. It's just that the pressure is going to be enormous, and I mean, LSU's already been tested. They've been on the road. They've done a lot of things. And for all of us, and I include all of us, who talked about nobody's played a tougher schedule than LSU. Well, that was fraudulent. You know, beating Tulane in a cracker box didn't really prove anything. And playing a woeful Georgia Tech team did not have any relevance at all. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother. How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Sorry, I wasn't there in the call station to meet you. I just been going through a lot of things right now, Paul. Me and Mama trying to save money to go back home. Unless my brother for now do that. I'm just stressed out, man. I'm not going to meet you this year at all. But I was really impressed with the way my team played defensively. I liked the way Max Johnson came in and helped us win the game. I hope Carwoman comes back. Do you know how long he helped with the injuries? And I want your thoughts on the game, Paul.
Matt, I was very impressed. I thought the second half was exactly what many have been hoping for from A&M, production on offense, dominance on defense, and that's what A&M needs the next 2 weeks if they are going, or 3 weeks if they're going to survive this season. We're up against the break. We have Chris Marler joining us. A busy afternoon with Coach Kelly, who did give us an update on Greg Brooks for those who missed the first hour. And we had Graham Mertz. Chris Marler around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A lot of interviews. We've chatted with Brian Kelly earlier. You heard from Graham Mertz in the final hour. We'll talk a little more analysis in this hour and your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's continue and talk to Dan in Savannah. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
just listening to your new celebrity. What's his name? Out of Baton Rouge, the old man. Respectfully.
Are you speaking of the coach we had?
No, no, the barbershop man.
Daryl.
Isn't he a Daryl also?
Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, so he's enjoyable. Now, you don't have to worry about them old boys down there with a splitter. They probably weren't hanging off every telephone pole there, but enjoy your visit with him. He needs to teach – he could teach Brian Kelly some Cajun language a little bit there. Brian needs to go in there and get his hair cut and brush up on his Cajun.
Can you see Brian down at the at TR's barbershop? You know, Brian's from Massachusetts, right north of Boston, and –
Hey, he'd be welcome. He'd be welcome now. Y'all enjoy gnawing on that gator tail or whatever. But I wanted to talk about Coach Saban. He is so calm now, and I know that he wasn't that way when this NIL started, and he could see the writing on the wall, and that's exactly what the problem is now. He can't spank nobody. He can't get on nobody because they'll just get there. They'll leave. With the transfer portal, they'll just go cross town or wherever, you know, and it's just and that just takes away a lot of the discipline opportunities and everything for all the coaches. So I'm sure Kirby's going to cross that bridge pretty soon, and all of them will. It's really sad. Because you can't tell your boss what to do if you're making more money than your boss, I don't think. Now, you are Paul Feinbaum, so it could happen
and,
with you.
Let me assure you, it doesn't matter what my name is. These days, I'll be outside looking for work.
Hey, you'll be down there cutting hair at the barbershop. Leave them boys alone. If they're watching Price is Right in the morning, we owe men, but we still men, and them models look pretty nice.
Right.
You know, on Price is Right.
I'll tell them, Dan, when I head down to BR. Man, that's going to be some afternoon at the barbershop there. Let's talk to Jason in Augusta. Good afternoon. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, Dan had a good call there, I thought. A couple things I wanted to bring up. As far as Kiffin goes, he's full of more crap than a doo-doo gun. All he does is talk and can't win a ball game. And I got news for AJ and them. We're gonna go into Auburn and whip some butt this weekend. Go Dogs.
Thank you very much. That's a fascinating game because the game has almost as much tradition than any other game in the SEC. But after watching Auburn Saturday, it's hard to come up with an explanation of why it will be compelling. Let's check in with Willis in Los Angeles. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I think that Lane Kiffin is going to join his roster in the transfer portal himself. The Ole Miss job is merely a way station. Some of the people that had that job have disappeared, like Matt Luke and others, and they're not even in football anymore. And I have one serious request from you.
Okay.
I'd like you to have on interview some of the agents for the top-tier coaches. You had on Commissioner Sankey and the athletic director, York, very good interviews. And I'd just like to see the other side of the equation, who these guys are, how they present themselves, and
well,
how they react
really
to your question.
Well, it's a really interesting question, and it's not impossible to do, but in the SEC, there is one agent that controls about 75% of the league, maybe more. And
wow.
There's a good book in this conversation because it is for all the people that ask questions like, well, how come that AD did what he did or she, it's usually because of an agent who controls the entire landscape.
Well, I would like to get a postmortem on the Brian Hartson deal, how it ended, what he got on the back end. For example,
Brian is back in Boise. I've actually heard from him a little bit, and I think he will come back. I've always felt he's a very good football coach who just got put in the worst possible situation, and that was day one, and it got worse because of the interference. But thank you for the call. You've given us a really interesting story, though, to talk about one day. Joseph is in Tupelo. You're on the air. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just still reeling a little bit over the embarrassment that Lane Kiffin did before the game by poking a sleeping giant, which we all know is not what you're supposed to do.
No.
And it's just like, I really thought we had a chance to win this game. And I was excited about it. And we came through with nothing. I mean, we had the lead, but we missed field goal. Our defense was playing pretty daggum good, but our offense just sputtered out.
Yeah,
so,
Joseph, the first half was, both teams threw away opportunities, but Ole Miss outplayed Alabama. And in just a handful of plays, it all evaporated, and then there were simply no answers. I don't know, people talk about halftime adjustments. It looked like Alabama shored everything up, and Kiffin was too busy tweeting out pictures of juice, because the second half was about as big of a disaster I have seen from Lane Kiffin. And he's had some
clunkers,
but this one was unbelievable. And I think serious damage was done to Kiffin's reputation in the aftermath.
I believe so. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't get things turned right, it's not going to be good Saturday night.
Yeah, I hate to add to the pressure of the moment, but it is as much of a must-win as you can ever have on the final day of September.
Yes, we have to have it. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And by the way, I think the game is winnable. It's just that the pressure is going to be enormous. And, LSU's already been tested. They've been on the road. They've done a lot of things. And for all of us, and I include all of us, who talked about nobody's played a tougher schedule than LSU. Well, that was fraudulent. Beating Tulane in a cracker box didn't really prove anything, and playing a woeful Georgia Tech team did not have any relevance at all. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Sorry I wasn't there in the call station to meet you. I just been going through a lot of things right now, Paul. Me and Mama trying to save money to go back home. Unless my brother for now to do that. I've been stressed out, man. I'm not going to meet you this year at all. But I was really impressed with the way my team played defensively. I liked the way Max Johnson came in and helped us win the game. I hope Carr Woman comes back. Do you know how long he out with some injuries is? And I want your thoughts on the game, Paul. Overall.
Matt, I was very impressed. I thought the second half was exactly what many have been hoping for from A&M. Production on
offense. Do you know how long Carr's going to be out?
Dominance on defense, and that's what A&M needs the next 2 weeks, if they are going, or 3 weeks, if they're going to survive this season. We're up against the break. We have Chris Marler joining us, a busy afternoon with Coach Kelly, who did give us an update on Greg Brooks, for those who missed the first hour. And we had Graham Mertz. Chris Marler around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And now it's time for Fansville, brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Fansville in Athens as Kirby Smart. First 100 games, not bad. 85-15. If you take out that first year, it's almost unbelievable to look at. Bear Bryant, Saban's on there, of course, Spurrier, and Phil Fulmer. Dr. Pepper bringing us that, and let's check in with Dr. Augie in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul, did Chris Marler say Lane Kiffin needed mental health counseling, or did I misquote that?
No, he was talking about it. He's okay when Lane tweets out about hot yoga helping his mental health.
Oh, okay. I misheard it.
Typical of a lawyer to misrepresent the facts.
No, I did state. Maybe I misunderstood. So, but I got to ask you this question, Paul. Over the last 2-3 years, have you seen Lane's maturity level go up, go down, or stay the same?
It's cyclical. He has his moments, but he usually resorts to his teenage ways.
Oh, well, but you know, he could redeem himself this weekend, and I tell you what.
By the way, right now, he is 14-12 in the SEC in his tenure at Ole Miss.
Well, he's got a prime opportunity to redeem himself.
This will be his biggest win yet since coming to Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, I think we fall into number 13. So if he's looking strictly at numbers, this isn't going to be as big a win as win over Indiana, if he even beats us this weekend.
The fact that nobody remembers that and everyone would remember this, I would disagree.
I can't even remember Indiana ever being number 9. Can you?
No. COVID was a weird year anyway. By the time we got to the bowl games, It was so strange. I mean, I can tell you bowl games for 40 years. I don't remember that game. Oh, that's right. Pennant played for Indiana. That's why they were so good.
I didn't remember anything. But Paul, I've got to for the record state that Mr. Captain Obvious, Mr. Soap and a Rope, leg end. He did go 3-for-3 with his picks this week. So. Again, picking the obvious helped him redeem somewhat of his reputation. But John from Louisville, he went 1-for-3, so we need to ban John from picking. But, Paul, did you see any of that LSU-Arkansas game?
Yes, I sure did.
I mean, you got to give Sam Pittman a lot of credit. He had his guys up for the game, and Arkansas isn't as bad as people might have thought they were.
No, they're a very good team. They just can't win at the end. Maybe that changes this weekend. I've always felt the A&M game was the most important game they had to win, and it's right in front of them Saturday.
Well, they have their strength to me is their offensive line. I think that offensive line was incredible. Their weakness, of course, is their defense. But that's our weakness. We have a terrible defense. And, you know, I hate BK during the games, because we can't stop anybody. Of course, after you win, you're like, okay, well, maybe he's not so bad. But I don't know what the guy's been doing with the defensive side of the ball. We're awful, absolutely awful. You don't have the right players. Seems like they're not disciplined when they're in the game. They give up coverage. And then did you see that tight end was open on that ball?
Let me offer you this. Next week, if we have a chance, I think we will, talk to Brian Kelly. I am going. Would you mind doing the interview? We can Zoom you in.
Yeah, but, you know, he's going to not want to talk to me after that because I'm going to ask him some tough questions, and he's going to probably say, who is this idiot from New Orleans calling me? I was told about these New Orleans people. But
he will say that, and he will echo many others in the audience as well. Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I hear the party's coming to Lex this coming weekend.
Yeah, we're going to Kentucky this weekend. You want to come along? I'm not even going to the game. I'm just going to a bourbon distillery and hang out there and watch it on TV.
Man, I tell you what, that's where it's at. I'm just a short drive away. Hey, real quick, is Texas not the best team in the nation?
They and Florida State are certainly in the running.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I had one other thing on my mind, but I kind of forgot. Hey, where do you see Kentucky going after if they win from Florida? Do you think they have any what do you see them for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, you know, we say this all the time, but this is really the game. If they win this game, they head to Athens next week, and you talk about a big game, October 7th. We had this game, 2 years ago when all eyes were on Athens when the Cats showed up, and it's very likely to happen again. But don't overlook Florida. They are an ascending team right now. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Colin is in Gainesville. Good afternoon, Colin.
Hello, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
We are students here in Gainesville, and we were just watching the show, and we saw Graham, so we wanted to know your thoughts about Mertz. And then about the rest of the season, Crawford?
I have really flipped around on him. I kept everybody telling me we've seen him before at Wisconsin and then the Utah game, but I think since then he has been really outstanding, and I love his personality. I think he's become a really important team leader, so I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, we like him a lot here. There's a lot of excitement for the rest of the season. So, like, what kind of chance do you give us to beat teams like Georgia, LSU, FSU, teams like that?
I think a lot of things depend on momentum, and I think Saturday is one of those games when you think about the Florida schedule. You win this game, and you got a chance of blowing into Jacksonville on fire. And you know, Vanderbilt, listen, we don't need to say anything more about Vanderbilt. But a win at South Carolina, that's a possibility. Florida beat South Carolina last year badly. So I really think it depends on state of mind, and I believe it all comes down to this weekend, quite frankly. We will take a break. We have a long way to go, plenty of calls. We have not heard from a lot of Bama fans. Did the usual crowd miss the game Saturday? You would have thought they would have owned the first hour. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here as we roll on a Monday afternoon. Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff. Did not hear Jeff. I will try Rich in Chicago. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Paul. Quick question. If you were to take University of Michigan, line them up in the SEC West, actually play a real schedule, how do you think that would turn out?
I think Michigan would be extremely competitive. I mean, we don't know what this team really is all about, but knowing the personnel on the team, and they have enormous talent, and I think they would.
I don't know. I mean,
first of all, in the SEC, it depends on the schedule, and you know, I think they would be very, very, very good at home. They would struggle on the road because that's where the SEC is normally decided.
So if you were to have them, let's say, take Bama's schedule, okay, do you think they still are a playoff contender?
Yes, because Bama has a very favorable schedule. Now, could they have beaten Texas? That's not really the question because we're talking about within the SEC. But Alabama's toughest games are at home this year. They have LSU. They have, obviously, Tennessee. They played Ole Miss. They go to Kentucky later, which is still a little bit unknown. But I know the right answer is always Michigan couldn't handle it. But I think Michigan would be a very strong team in the SEC this year.
It'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Well, we're not ever going to find out because I don't think Michigan plays a legitimate team now till November. Hey, thanks for the call. Lou is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Lou.
How are you doing, Mr. Feinbaum? Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Obviously, I hope I can get a little – before you press that button, I got a little bit of things to say, but I love your show. Been holding on for a little bit. The Lane Kiffin thing is – last week there was a caller that called in and made a prediction that Apple goes to Oklahoma and – Kiffin lands back in Tennessee, and your comment at the time was that, he left Knoxville on fire, and that's for sure. But I don't think Kiffin's coming back, and I think Kiffin is his swagger is like pregame, he's a little bit cocky, and then when he gets his butt handed to him at the end of the day, he can be a little bit more professional. If he could merge that, then he would probably be a pretty successful coach. And I even know some people that would welcome Kiffin back to Tennessee. Personally, I wouldn't. I don't want nothing to do with Lane Kiffin because I just don't like the way he left. And let me say something about Coach Heupel. If I love the guy. I love what he did year one, year two. And we've talked a little bit about my opinion on Milton. He didn't prove me wrong this weekend. He did a better job, but not a great job. But if Tennessee doesn't beat South Carolina this week, I'm thinking that you got to look at two words for the University of Tennessee and their coaching alma mater, and that would be Butch Jones. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Butch, I think I have a better chance of winning the Golden Bachelorette than Butch Jones has of coming back to Knoxville. Hey, thanks for the call. They don't have a Golden Bachelor, right? There could be a Golden Bachelorette. Tyler is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I got two questions. Do you think Alabama found their identity Saturday? And do you think if they lined up against Georgia right now, who would you pick to win?
I think the first answer is yes. They finally, Tyler Booker had a really good game. There were other players on the offensive line that finally shored up. And the defense, I think we knew would be good, but they were superb.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Georgia right now, although the Georgia team is a mystery to me, and it will continue to be a mystery until I don't know when, but they just because of the schedule, are just not going to see a lot of competition, including this weekend.
Yeah. I think Nick Saban's finally straightened them boys up.
Well, listen, you don't get to his point in the game's history without, delivering in the moment. He's made a history of that, a career out of that. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. George is up next. Hey, George.
Hey, Paul. I just the quarterback thing at Alabama has just really confused me, because I don't think our quarterback's ever going to be anything if our line don't play even as good as we did Saturday. I know Milroe, he's still making a mistake, like, the interception. He had Burton at the 3-yard line wide open if he just threw it there, but I think he still makes mistakes, but I think a lot of us do because he's pressured so much. What do you think?
Well, he made enough mistakes Saturday
yes.
to cost Alabama the game, but fortunately the defense was able to bail him out and some great running play.
I know the that's what I said. But sometimes he looks, when he's got plenty of time to throw the football, he makes some good throws.
He makes some great throws. But what you're getting with him.
Right now, I think we need that because our offensive line is not playing as good as it should.
No, but one thing about offensive line play, and I act like I've played it, I promise you I haven't, but I think the confidence of Saturday, I think, will help this team. And they've got a good chance to build on that. Right now, everything is going to lie with Texas A&M because Alabama, may struggle against Mississippi State, but they should win that game. But A&M is a mystery, and
that was what I was.
You don't know what you're going to get with that program.
What can we expect from them? Okay. I tried to get in last week. I thought it was funny about Ole Miss, and every time Georgia Tech got something going to change.
Well, one thing to remember, Georgia, and I'm not being a negative Nelly here, but in the last 2 years, Alabama has really struggled on the road in the SEC. This is starting in 21.
On the road.
I mean, they have underperformed. Well, the only bright spot, I believe, has been last year. Well, excuse me, that game was not on the road, but the Mississippi State game is an outlier for last year's season. But all the other games, they have had a hard time.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.